Welcome to another episode of House LSD Radio. I'm your host, I am Brandon, and on this week's episode, we have another amazing queer DJ. We'll get to the person in a minute, but for now, can I say I cannot believe that we're already on episode 10. It has been such a wild, wild ride so far. And thank you everybody so much for tuning in to the past 10 episodes and seeing all of our great guests, DJs coming through and telling about their stories and also enjoying their mixes. There's been a lot of development since, you know, in 10 episodes. Like DJ Mary Kay just did her first DJing at Spy Bar, debut there. DJ Wolfie just debuted at Smart Bar a few weeks ago as we were doing some stuff. Miss Toto just finished up the tour with Shay on the Love Ball. There's been so many great things that our guests have been a part of already, so hopefully you've been able to check them out on all their social medias and all that. For me, we're still going. We still got more shows to come, and I have a few gigs that are coming up pretty soon. I'll be playing Kashmir in Chicago in the Fulton Market this coming week, so tomorrow. At the end of this month, I'll be playing at Smart Bar for Queen, so I'll be doing that. There are some plans for the summer that are coming around soon, so I'll be doing some stuff with some stuff in Detroit. So I've been trying to get back up there. So if you are going to be around in June, I'll be announcing some of the gigs I have out there soon. And there might be some gaming DJing events that I'm working on, too. So this week has been full of just a lot of stuff on the DJ front. So I'm super excited to be able to talk about it in the next coming shows, hopefully. But getting into our guests here, we're going to go right into our special guest for today. Today's guest started curating music for an independent art collective in the early 2000s, but quickly found his calling as a DJ. For two decades, the native Chicagoan has been consistently working in the club scene as one half of the DJ duo Redux. He's opened up for the likes of Disclosure, Hercules and the Love Affair, and played music festivals such as Spring Awakening and the North Coast Music Festival. And please welcome to the show DJ CT, or as we know him as Carlos. What's up, Carlos? Welcome to the show. We have a clap of Curly, but there's like claps also in the background.
The corporate thing. Snappy claps in those meetings.
How are you doing today?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am doing good. You've been like on the list for a while for the show, so like I feel like we finally have gotten here. But it's great to have you on, just because like, you know, we love having our friends on the show because we're able to kind of dissect like what got you into the whole DJ scene and everything. So we did a little bit of research, so we know you've been kind of immersed in the underground scene like since the beginning. So could you like give us a little bit of, I guess, an explanation of like what led you to the decks?
So I don't know if underground would be appropriate, but definitely the sort of DIY scene, like coming from like, you know, the artist collaborative days of like the late 90s, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. This was before social media, so these were like back in the day when you had to like print flyers for parties and have to go hand them out and show face at other events, you know, in order to sort of like brand yourself. Mm-hmm. Social media didn't exist. It was in its infancy at the time, but still like, yeah, everyone used that sort of method. So I was part of a collaborative called Fluxcore in the early 2000s. And I would put our music together for our events, our gallery events. Mm-hmm. There were artists from all sorts of mediums. So we had photographers, painters, we had visual artists, we had videographers, musicians. Everybody sort of had their own thing and collaborated together. And so my contribution was music. And so at the time, I wasn't quite a DJ yet, but I was piecing together like mixtapes for our events. Mm-hmm. And eventually, probably around 2003, a good friend of mine, Ron, who's one of the founders of Fluxcore, bought a CDJ, like a dual set with a little tiny mixer. I don't even know what the brand was, but oh my God, this was so primitive. Like this was like way back when CDJs first came out, you know, when you had to burn CDs and like, there was no beat mapping or matching. There was no quantizing or anything like that. Mm-hmm. The thing is that like this was right at the beginning of the digital era of DJing. And so a lot of the like there was a lot of conversation at the time about old school DJs who play records versus the new school ones who were learning on these. And so I sort of came in that sort of new school era. I didn't know how to DJ on vinyl when I started DJing, but it was a sort of natural progression. So, but underground probably isn't the right term because these were all above ground, but they were more DIY. You know, they were done in underground type spaces. But also like, you know, really renowned galleries, and event spaces as well. So it was a fun time. We were kids.
Yeah. Well, it seems that you've been self-taught in, you know, a lot of different ways, you know, DJing itself, but also obviously, organizing parties and promoting. So how important is networking in the scene, in general, would you say?
It's so interesting because it's different now than it was then. And I could only imagine how hard it was for, you know, DJs who were playing back in the, you know, 80s, 90s, you know, coming up in the scene then. It was definitely more word of mouth. But one thing that I think always remains true is, you know, showing face, like go to the parties, show support, introduce yourself, you know, a conversation about how you know, how you guys have or how anyone has shared interests sort of happens organically in those spaces. Mm-hmm. And then in the at those moments is when you create magic. Those are when you have those moments where you create those parties and those wonderful ideas, you know. Mm-hmm. Half of them are drunken bar conversations. Yeah. And those but half of them do happen, you know, and do come to life. And so, networking is extremely important. Of course, now you have social media. So if you have a big social media following, that's great, too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being an influencer is, it, you know, hey, if being a DJ has nothing to do about being an influencer or anything else. It's all about your pure and unabashed love of music. And then the skill sort of comes in. If you're an influencer, that just sort of helps, you know. Yeah. So I think no matter what, you have to brand yourself and network yourself. It's very important.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because networking is super important, which I'm like relearning myself right now. I thought I knew how to network, but you got to do it in different kinds of ways now.
You still have to show face, though, no matter what. I thought that this past year that I was like, oh, I put my time in, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you'll see very quickly, you know, I mean, this can turn into a whole different conversation, but you'll see very quickly how gigs can dry up, you know, you know, your schedule all of a sudden becomes available when you're not really sort of a part of the scene. So you have to sort of, you know, keep up and, but enjoy yourself at the same time, you know, that's what I say. I've been doing this a long time, but, you know, no matter what, the hustle is always going to be there. The hustle, the hustle is real.
Yeah. It stays there as long as you have the passion, you know?
It's crazy. I play every weekend out and I don't ever get bored.
See, and that's good because like you could just always like find something new to play. And then also you get to like meet like new people who may not have heard you the weekend before, but they stopped in this time and now they like hear your sets, which is good.
It's insane how, and just, you know, just speaking about this now, somebody was just hitting me up, through Instagram. And you know, he's a promoter doing things. He's a mover and shaker doing things, especially in the Latinx community. Mm-hmm. And he was like totally enamored with the set and the music that I was playing last week. And he hit me up just before, you know, the taping of the show and was like, yo, you know, let's try to see and work something together. And I was like, oh, you know, and this is just from like a random Friday night at Celeste. Well, it's not random because I'm there every week, but you know what I mean? Like it's what a random set, a random moment in time, you know? Yeah. So,
Jeff, you want us to pause for a second?
Yeah, hold on.
So yeah, and then playing from the old boys' room party in the mid 2000s was sort of the beginning of all this for you. And this is basically how you met your DJ partner Matt Weiser. So can you tell us like a little bit of the genesis of Redux?
It was one of those moments in time where, you know, there was a convergence of like, you know, these two artists who really wanted to do things in the city. You know, he was very young at the time. I think he was just barely 21. Mm-hmm. I had just I was in my early 30s at the time. And but I had this hunger. I got out of the corporate world. I really wanted to become an artist and really do stuff and collaborate and So a friend of mine, Johnny and I, like, took over. Well, we collaborated with some people who were doing a weekly queer party, a queer dance party in Wicker Park on Sundays called Boys Room. But there were no queer people behind it. They were just creating the space for it. You know, Trey, one of my really good friends, who's still involved very much in the scene. He, you know, at the time, you know, I don't know if he identified. I don't know. You know, I know all I know is that Jamie, the bartender, her brother identified as queer. So she was like, I'm going to create this whole space for these people. And I was like, well, you need some queer people behind it in order for it to, like, you know, I'm like, thank you. But, you know, so yeah, Johnny and I sort of like came in to do the party with them. And sort of took it over. I mean, they still were very much involved, you know, and we just branded it. You know, we hired a photographer. We did a whole, like, campaign. This is 2009. So, like, you know, it was still right before Instagram was big. It was still, like right at the very beginning of Facebook. And so, yeah, Matt had seen that I was posting about the party. He had seen that there was a queer party going on in that neighborhood, and he lived around there at the time. So he just came in on one of the Sundays. And so we ended up, like, you know, just ended up bonding over a shared love of music and a shared love of, like, the scene and representation and, you know, being able to do something that's a little different and off the beaten path. You know, back then there weren't, you know, Queen wasn't even around yet, you know, so there weren't a lot of, like, queer sort of identifying parties that that were, you know, different than what was going on Halsted Street. You know, you had Scott Kramer and Outdance, which was a phenomenal party that then turned into Stardust at Berlin. And so that's sort of the era where we came from, 09, 2010. Boys Room allowed me the opportunity to network and get to meet some of the actual movers and shakers in the scene at the time. And so I started booking DJs, and they in turn would book me at events. And yeah, that's how it all sort of grew. And Matt also was at the time a part of this crew called Custom Vibes. And Custom Vibes was like, they're still around, but, like, you know, they're sort of quiet now. But back in, like, 07, 08. Man, they were a collective of DJs that played all different genres. And all over the spectrum, you know, and it was great. He was a part of that crew, but they didn't have really any queer representation in the crew. And so Matt really wanted to, like, make a difference in, you know, from that perspective, you know, as well at the time. So, yeah, it worked out. It's like the stars aligned.
Yeah. And it's funny because you were just talking about how, like, how networking is important, and, like, how that literally, you know, Matt showing up to that party, that's how you met Matt. And this whole thing came about from that.
Well, yeah, it snowballed, by the way. Like, it just turned into something bigger than we could ever expected. Like, you know, we definitely benefited from, you know, networking and knowing people in the scene, but also, you know, what we brought and what we bring still, because we still play together, just not as much as we used to. But what we brought was, we always brought it no matter what, you know, we always slayed it. We were booked to open some of the highest profile gigs at the time. We were residents at the Mid, which was, like, the club. So, we got to play with some of the biggest DJs in the world. Like, I just couldn't, you know, I was thinking back about this, you know, putting sort of like a resume together in a way, you know, and I was like, wow, you know, I didn't realize how, even if it was just for myself, how impactful those experiences are and were, you know?
Well, I mean, like you said, like, you know, you opened up for some of the biggest names that are out there, like James Murphy from LCD Sound System, Disclosure, Dom Dalla, to name a few.
I have his autograph.
Oh, you do?
Picture, the James Murphy one. Our name's on the flyer too, and this other disco sort of, like, indie disco band, like a DJ producers, called Shit Robot.
Oh,
I'm sorry if we can't.
You know, oh no, you're fine.
they also were on the bill, but it was such an experience, and it sort of, like, paved the way for everything else. And I think you mentioned Disclosure. I don't know. I wear that as an honor all the time because, you know, when that happened, this was right when their first album came out, when they just, stormed the world, and not just the house music scene. Like they, you remember, like
yeah, it was everywhere,
all over the radio. They they catapulted Sam Smith. They catapulted Jesse Ware's career. And you know, their countless like collaborations are just masterpieces. So. Yeah, they did a stint in Chicago. They were here for like 5 days.
I remember that. Yeah, because I know they had a show at Spy Bar at one point.
Yeah, well, yeah. They were like everywhere. They were at Primary. They were at like Spy Bar. They were like here and there. They were fucking at the road. They were like riding the roller coasters. They were in America. Whatever. Like they were. We were like, wait, are they still in Chicago?
Yeah, just hanging like, out.
it was so funny because when I saw them at Primary, I didn't even know that it was them. I was just kind of dancing, and you know, that fire starts to burn track was burning up at the time, and I was like, oh my god, you know, look at you know these guys, right? Disclosure, they're right in front of me, and my friend's like, bro,
they're right there.
Matt, he was around. Hey, yo, they're actually playing right now. I was
like, yeah.
But no, that was a dream come true. Like it happened last minute. It actually happened the day of.
We got oh wow!
Yeah. And it was a phenomenal experience. But overall, you know, it was a great ride, and it still is. I mean, those days aren't gone. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Matt and I are sort of doing our own thing now, which is cool. You know, but we still play together, and you know. A lot of things happened. You know, COVID happened, and you know, the world shut down. And then after that, things just reemerged completely differently.
Completely differently.
Which is okay. Which is fine. I love it.
So we've been talking about this a little bit, but you spend a lot of years as, you know, a part of a group DJ crew, and then doing stuff solo, working at clubs like Disco and Celeste. But you've had your own residencies at, you know, Berlin and Replay. Other than the obvious, like, what are the differences between like the two worlds of like being solo and then also having like that backup like in a DJ duo?
You know, at the time when we were playing like at Replay in Berlin, and you know, we were doing the blender parties, like we were trying to continue to still bring that sort of ethos of like just really good music and safe queer spaces. And so you know, it was always interesting to go from like somewhere like Berlin or like Replay or Hydrate, and then play, you know, down in River North the next night, you know. Completely different crowds. But, you know, weekends are the weekends, right? Weekends are going to bring the bridge and tunnel crowd no matter what neighborhood you're in. But what I got to say, though, is that there's nothing like playing a queer party. There's nothing like being around that kind of energy and that kind of love. And I crave it. Like, I've actually only been playing mostly at, like, Celeste or Disco or, you know, Soho, which Soho's great during the summer. The queer parties at the pool parties.
Yeah, I hear they're legendary.
Oh my God, there's so much fun. I get in so much trouble. I do kind of miss playing, you know, like Hydrate, Replay, those kind of spaces. But I like going, you know, as a supporter anyway. So, you know, you'll still catch me out there on a dance floor, you know, supporting any of y'all at any of your parties. Because I see you're doing it too, boo.
Just try a little bit. Yeah, prism! Yeah. That's also really great just because of the pure fact that it's like, you know, I've seen you play. And it's just like the growth of everybody. Just like I've been surrounding myself by has been really, really cool. So but I just want to say, you know, once again, we really appreciate you being here. And now I think it's time for us to have less talking and more dancing. So let's get into the mix with CT on House of LSD Radio Chicago.
They gave us something to move to. They gave us something to groove to. Slide to the side. With powder on the floor. Real head music. Real expression. You know, back then it didn't matter where you came from. White, black, Puerto Rican. Everybody was freaking. We'll be right back.
Thank you. You never used to listen, now you do. things in life, just me and you, 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 you. You look good and so do, yeah, you do, 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 do. I can tell you anything I like. You never used to listen, now you.
Right in front of my face, and I just cannot hide it.
Well, that was another killer guest DJ mix for On House of LSD Radio. I'm your host, I'm Brandon, and you've been listening to the amazing DJ CT. Carlos, I gotta say, thank you so much for being here. It's been a joy. Before we go, can you tell folks where they can connect with you online and just like what any future upcoming gigs you might have coming up?
Certainly. Well, the best way to connect with me is through Instagram. So my handle is DJ CT, but it's spelled out. The DJ, so DeeJayCT. Carlos Torres, you'll find me on there. My page is public. My DMs usually are open. From there, I'll have a link tree to my SoundCloud so you can check out some mixes. And I'm usually at Celeste Disco every weekend. I'll be at Soho House. And yeah, I'm all over the city, Penny Whistle. Just check out my page. I post every week where I'm at. And come by. It would be great.
All right, cool.
So we should do something.
Yeah, we should do something soon. That's what I was going to say.
2024. All right. Thank you, though.
Yes. Well, once again, we do appreciate you being here, Carlos, and everybody who is listening, make sure you check him out. But until the next episode, we will see you on the dance floor. House of LSD is a creation of Delray Productions, executive produced by Daniel Perez, produced and designed by Jeff Ramone, and additional design by Polly Vons. Please follow us on Instagram at Delray Productions. Watch us on YouTube or listen to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, Amazon, and everywhere where quality podcasts are found. Don't forget to rate and subscribe on all platforms. We really appreciate your support. We'll be back next week with another exciting guest and more banging tunes.